It's Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday.
Thank God it's Friday. It's Friday afternoon, and your work week is over.
Jackpot.
Take a load off and get in the last word with Matt Taylor and Jimmy Mad Dog Matus from the Taco Bell studio.
Good evening. This is the last word. Happy weekend to you. Happy Friday. Celebrate with us. I'm Matt Taylor alongside Jimmy Mad Dog Matus inside the Taco Bell studio. Thanks to JMV for the lead-in live from the Combine at Lucas Oil Stadium. We'll head back to the Combine here in just a little bit. Later on the program, we'll go one-on-one with Ryan Grigson and Chuck Pagano. But the big story right now, for me at least, dog, is it's Friday. The weekend is here. I'm happy about that. I'm also happy that the snow around my mailbox is starting to melt, and I can actually get my mail.
That's true, but I currently have a moat around my house. There's a moat. I need a drawbridge.
I can get to my mailbox, but now I'm going to have to open it up and pay some bills. So it's a double-edged sword right there.
It's unbelievable.
Plenty to talk about on this edition of the program. As we said, the Combine is in town, a full slate of college basketball. Chuck Pagano and Ryan Grigson are going to be here on Segment 3, Horseshoe FAQ. We'll also catch up with Kevin Bowen from Colts.com, get his thoughts on Colts topics and national and pertinent information around the NFL. But, dog, it is a big weekend in town. A lot of media, a lot of visitors, a lot of athletes are at the Combine, and it's amazing how many people are interested in this thing, even though fans and most of the media cannot see these workouts. They're just covering this blind event, and it's so popular.
It is, but it's also, you know, where so many NFL executives, coaches, assistant coaches, scouts are located, so you can talk to those guys, get information. And, you know, the media, the press is there like worker bees,
right,
finding every story they possibly can. What do you think about this? And it's not just about these guys going through their workouts. It's really the state of the NFL.
The NFL and its marketers do a great job. 5 or 6 years ago, they started the idea, the concept of making the general managers and the head coaches involved and available. So it kind of bridges the gap between the end of the NFL season and the draft. You know, if you're a media person, you have to be there because you have to get the State of the Union on your specific team. And it's a way to get nuggets and good stories and good features leading into the draft. So it's definitely a staple on the NFL calendar now.
Indeed it is, and it's much more than just grading out these guys, how big they are, how fast they are.
Plenty to cover here on headlines. Let's get to them. All right, shaking some things up just before the NBA trade deadline yesterday. The Pacers turn a lot of heads. They traded Danny Granger to the 76ers. That in return for Evan Turner and Lavoy Allen. As part of the deal, the Pacers sent a 2015 second-round pick to Philly. It was a part of a roster-gutting day for the 76ers, who also traded starting center Spencer Hawes in a separate deal with the Cleveland Cavaliers. What did you make of the move, dog?
Well, it did not surprise me that Danny Granger was part of it. I think a lot of people saw that. It did surprise me that it was Evan Turner and Lavoy Allen. I think it's a steal. I really think this Pacer team unbelievably made a statement that, man, we're in for this year and next year and the year after. Let's go.
Dog, the Pacers' second rotation, it's unbelievable. I mean, it could be a starting rotation in other circumstances.
It was for the 76ers.
Yes, I mean, Scola, Bynum, Turner, Watson, Butler. I mean, a lot of people around town are starting to get sized up for a championship T-shirt, but it did make a lot of sense and good for Larry Bird to wait out the trade deadline and kind of swoop in at the last second because he avoided giving Philadelphia that first-round draft pick that they wanted. Instead, he gets Turner, Lavoy Allen, and only in compensation has to give away Danny Granger, who has the expiring contract. Thought it was a great move and kind of insurance because Lance Stephenson is going to be a free agent as well. If he bolts in free agency, maybe Evan Turner could be a good insurance policy and a guy to go after should Stephenson bolt.
I think on the flip side of that, you get rid of some contracts and keep Born Ready. I think that's probably more the way they're looking than as an insurance policy in case he leaves.
Moving down, the NCAA slowdown. Last week, the NCAA Football Rules Committee assessed a proposed rules change that would guarantee defenses the chance to substitute after every play and would not allow offenses to snap the ball until 10 seconds ticked off the play clock. Now, the proposed rule came about to enhance player safety. Troy Calhoun, the head coach at Air Force and the committee's chairman, said he needs more data that proves hurry-up offenses encourage injuries to defensive players. Calhoun hasn't seen such data because it doesn't exist. That, according to Auburn head coach Gus Malzahn, one of the many hurry-up, no-huddle proponents. Dog, is this the NCAA being proactive, or is this a case of the old-school coaches like Nick Saban wanting to slow things down and have a better chance at defending the hurry-up offense and kind of even the playing field?
I'm with Troy Calhoun. If, in fact, you can show me that this is putting some of our student-athletes in peril, then, yeah, we need to look at changing the rule. But I don't believe that, do you?
No, not at all. Do condition better. Do some sprints. Do some Razorbacks. I mean, the offensive guys have to be out there, too, running the plays.
I don't think it's conditioned as nearly as much as it is to figure out how to change your personnel more quickly. You know, you're going to have to work on these things in practice. We're playing against this team that's hurry up. How do we make our changes?
Right.
You know, so figure it out.
You've got 6 days to
figure
prepare it for it. Figure it out. Agreed. Hands-free Pitino. Rick Pitino doesn't mince words when it comes to social media and sports. He doesn't like it and believes his Louisville basketball team is better when players stay away from it. He says every hour it's like taking a little bit of poison. Pitino has banned his players from tweeting, and if it were up to him, he wouldn't let them use any other social media forums either. He said players can see that they use at least 4 hours of social media every day. Is Pitino fighting a losing battle with this generation of student-athletes? Because it's 2014. Kids are going to do what kids are going to do.
Hashtag hopeless, right? He's got no shot at keeping them off social media. Are you kidding me? It's the fabric now. It's what you got to do.
Indeed.
People reach for their phone as soon as they wake up. They leave them on all night so they don't miss a tweet.
Right.
You know, it's the way it is. I think what you need to do now as a coach, as a teacher, is to teach them how to properly use that, how to properly manage their time, how to not get caught up in that, how to make sure that you know what you're putting down before you hit send. You need to teach how to use this, not say it's evil, get rid of it.
I am one of the last generations that didn't grow up with Twitter. You know, when I was in high school, cell phones used as walkie-talkies were, you know, just starting to come out. You know, texting was just starting to be a fad. And do you use Twitter? Are you on Twitter?
I am on Twitter, but mainly as a follower. I'm more a voyeur.
Yeah.
I use it to get news updates, weather updates, sports updates, things like that. The occasional give and take with some people. But more often than not, it's the Indy Star. I get those updates, what's going on, late breaking news. That's what I use
That's what I use it for, too. But kids 18 to 22, they're using it to interact. It's headaches. Can you imagine being 18 and 22 and having to worry about 18 to 22 year olds' problems on top of what's being said about you, either on Twitter or Facebook? It's just headaches. More problems you have to deal with.
I follow Tanya Harding. That's it.
How's that go?
She's not real wordy.
Is she funny? What do you get from Tanya Harding that you can't get everywhere else? Come on, dog.
Come on down.
Start your engines. Last week, racing legend Richard Petty joked that the only way Danica Patrick would ever win a race in NASCAR would be if every other driver stayed home. Now, Tony Stewart, Patrick's mentor in NASCAR, thinks that Danica and Petty should duel it out in a match race. Stewart said that the match would settle it once and for all and, quote, maybe get Petty to shut up a little bit, too. If Patrick were to win the race, Stewart suggests that Patrick take the checkered flag and cram it up Petty's butt. Dog, we haven't even raced one time, and already we're getting a war of words between two pretty irrelevant people in the modern day of NASCAR. I guess that's what makes it great, because the racing's not very good, but the personality conflicts keeps it relevant.
In a duel, what turn in the first lap would Richard Petty put Danica in the wall?
There would be no race
maybe
there.
Maybe number one.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, whoever has the inside track
of
the first turn.
It's fun. You know, the interaction is what people want to see, and they get on, you know, and Richard Petty is not saying anything that a lot of people don't believe, and Tony's doing what Tony ought to do. Danica is his racer, and, you know, and he's sticking up for him.
This is what I'll be doing during the Daytona 500. Ready?
Yeah. Really? Really? See, the big sporting events you need to lend an eye to. I'm not a huge race fan.
Well, I'll watch the last four races.
NASCAR fan,
but I will
certainly watch it without question.
It's like the last 2 minutes of an NBA game. You know, I'll watch the last four laps.
A mid-season NBA.
Okay.
You know, playoffs, you know, let's belly up and watch.
All right, fair enough.
I'm with you.
Those are the headlines for this Friday, February 21st. A full slate of college basketball on hand. The Hoosiers, the Boilermakers, Butler, Notre Dame, all in action, as is Indiana State. The Pacers continue to roll on after the All-Star break. Have you seen this promotion that the Milwaukee Bucks are putting on tomorrow as the Pacers come to town?
Aren't they bringing some old rapper?
Bringing in Coolio.
See, I don't think Coolio's that old. Am I wrong?
I think it's 14 years ago. Okay. It's a Y2K party.
That's what I'm saying. Coolio, in that Gangster Wonderland or something like that?
Paradise.
Gangster Paradise. That's
the hit of 1996.
In the Gangster Paradise.
But doesn't it feel like it's too soon to nostalge a little bit, if that's a word?
Well,
14 years ago wasn't that long. I was in high school.
Oh, no.
That makes me feel old.
Are you kidding me?
Come on.
Look, you're talking to a guy who on the air broke Guns N' Roses. You know, hey, here's a new band.
Is this a girl singing?
Yeah. Hey, here's a new band I just heard, Guns N' Roses, right? And everybody says, you know, that's classic, right? You kidding me?
Also, we're going to go to the Combine. As we said before, Chuck Pagano and Ryan Grigson will be on this show talking about how they're evaluating 335 players at the Combine, what they're doing inside interviews, and how they're going about this process, this off-season process leading into the draft. Coming up next segment, it's the NFL Quick Hits. We'll talk about a possible return for Terrell Owens, what Joe Philbin needs to do to change the culture of the Dolphins, and if Johnny Manziel is the next Brett
Terrell
Favre.
Owens coming back?
Well, maybe.
They might have him at the Milwaukee Bucks game.
Yeah.
That's nostalgic.
He might be the halftime show with Coolio. They'll have to wait and see on that. Stay with us. Plenty more to talk about on NFL Quick Hits. That's coming up next. Last word, FM 107.5 and 1070 The Fan.
They may be the opinions you don't care about,
but we still get the last word.
Here's Jimmy Mad Talk Matus and Matt Taylor on FM 107.5 and 1070 The Fan.
What? I like your opinions. Most of them make sense.
Do they? Good. I just say stuff and hope for the best.
Made a career out of it, huh?
Indeed.
All right. Fair enough.
I put two O's in stupid.
That's a long O. NFL Quick Hits on this segment. It's always brought to you by Meijer. Enjoy simple savings with M-Perks digital coupons and rewards. Choose your own savings from hundreds of offers every week. Just clip your digital coupon and redeem the savings at your Meijer store. Go to mperks.meijer.com to sign up. It's fast, it's free, and it's easy. Let's get to the quick hits.
They're going to come after you. You got to make them pay, y'all.
They will not run this ball today.
NFL quick hits are coming at you.
All right, we talked about it, the teaser. Who wants T.O. at 40? Terrell Owens, who is 40, still thinks he can play in the league. He also thinks he got a bad rap as the NFL bad boy. Owens says that he never had drug issues, alcohol problems, committed domestic violence like some players today who are given second and third chances, seemingly. Now, Owens ran a 4.4340 just last year and says he thinks he's still in great shape. He still thinks he can play. But his last game in the league was December of 2010, which is quite some time ago in the life of an NFL player. Should he be given another shot?
He's not worth the headache. He's just not. He can say what he wants to say, but, you know, he can't believe he's got that bad boy image. That's like me saying people over-exaggerate my weight issues. Right? It's right there in front of you. You get the video everywhere. He's just, it's about him. It's about him right here. He's got no shot.
Couldn't have said it any better.
NFL Quick Hit 3.
The winds have changed. Miami Dolphins coach Joe Philbin guaranteed yesterday at the Combine that the team will have a better workplace environment in 2014. Philbin said again he was unaware of the bullying of Jonathan Martin by fellow offensive linemen Richie Incognito, John Jerry, and Mike Pouncey while it was going on. The coach's assertion was supported in the Wells report. The Dolphins, we all know, fired offensive line coach Jim Turner, head trainer Kevin O'Neill earlier in the week as a result of the report. Moving forward, or I guess let's go back first. How much of a responsibility is it on the head coach to know what's going on in the locker room? Now, I'm not even talking about Philbin in Miami. I'm just talking about head coaches in general, let's say Division I coaches and NFL head coaches, because they both have to deal with, you know, the media and just a lot of other day-to-day stuff. How much of it is on the coach to know what's going on inside their locker room?
If the key word is responsibility, all of it.
Okay.
Right? Now, whether he needs to know it himself personally, maybe, maybe not. Got a lot of things to do. But he is responsible to build the structure that won't allow that to happen. So whether that's assistant coaches, strength and conditioning coaches, captains, setting that up, that's his responsibility. So if the key word for me is responsibility, all of it.
Moving forward, how much of it is on Philbin to fix the problem?
I think set that structure.
Yeah.
I think set that structure. Here, something fell through the cracks. I don't have time to really worry about, nor do I really want to, but I'm going to set up, you know, a structure that's going to be able to take care of this.
NFL Quick Hit 4.
Many NFL insiders have compared Johnny Manziel to Brett Favre because of his gunslinger mentality, but Favre himself sees similarities between his own game and Manziel's style. Manziel is expected to be one of the first selections in the draft, and Favre thinks his game is reminiscent of his own style as a young signal caller. Favre, who's a future Pro Football Hall of Famer and one of the greatest NFL quarterbacks of all time, said that Manziel has progressed even further than he had at this stage in his career. So, Doggy, do you see the comparison, and do you think Manziel can have a similar successful career such as Brett Favre?
Well, certainly I think he can, but there's a lot of things I don't know, and I think that's why these guys are asking questions in interviews at the Combine. But we need to find out what I don't know, and that's why these guys work it, they look at it, they ask questions. It's, what are his study habits? How hard is he going to work? Does he merely just make it up as he goes and it's worked at the college level and might or might not at the NFL level? The question I need to answer is how much into it is he in the preparation? He might be off the charts, but that being said, I don't know that. And I think that's the one of the biggest keys. The second key is he going to learn to slide and get out of bounds? Because if he's not, he's not going to be around for long.
I like where you're going on the preparation. How into it will he be at the NFL level? Will he be a, quote, gym rat? You know, will he study the film, which is a nice transition?
And he might. He might already. Yeah. I just don't know.
That's a nice transition into NFL Quick Hit 5.
NFL Quick Hit 5.
Now, the scouting report on former South Carolina defensive end Jadeveon Clowney has long been that his athletic talent is second to none, but he doesn't always have the work as hard as you should mentality. Clowney's college coach, Steve Spurrier, didn't dispel that notion this week. Asked on the NFL Network to assess Clowney, Spurrier said his work ethic was just okay. However, Spurrier did gush about his greatness as a player and downplayed talk that his production was down in 2013. So, will it matter to most NFL teams now that he's out there as not being, or labeled not being, the hardest worker, but he is a freakishly strong talent?
It will matter. Now, whether it matters enough not to make that pick, I doubt it. Because many will say, we got that. We got coaches to do that.
Sure.
We've got veteran players to do that. So I don't think it'll matter enough, but it'll certainly matter.
It'll come out in the interviews. You know, these interviews at the Combine, when he sits down in front of general managers and coaches and says, we know what you can do. We've seen it on tape, and barring something unforeseen, he's going to put up big-time numbers at the Combine and come out as one of the better pass rushers. It's going to be at these interviews where coaches and GMs say, listen, if you come to the NFL, it's different. More people in this league are more like you than they are at the college level. I mean, Bjorn Werner talked about that last week. That was the biggest surprise for him. He was the ACC Defensive Player of the Year, but he kind of just looked in his rookie year like another guy out there, because talent and the strength of these players in the NFL is just off the charts across the board.
Does Clowney want to be a player or a great player? He's got what it takes to be a great player.
Absolutely.
If he wants to be, and I think that's where he'll be challenged by GMs and coaches.
Good work, Jimmy Mad Dog Matus. Those are the NFL quick hits. We talk NFL every week here on The Last Word in conjunction with the Colts. We'll continue to talk more NFL and the Colts on the next segment when we go one-on-one with Ryan Grigson, Chuck Pagano, also Kevin Bowen from Colts.com will be with us live from the NFL Scouting Combine. Stay with us. We're back in a moment. This is The Last Word.
We feel great. Our 12th man stood up today, and they screamed their butts off.
A bunch of different guys making plays.
He's hit as he throws the ball loose. It's picked up by Walden.
Just the way the team, we stuck together. We kept fighting. Just showed what type of team we had.
Way downfield to T.Y. He's got it. He's going to score. He's going to score.
You know, you always want to win at home. We've got such great fans.
He's going to take it himself. He's going to bootleg it and score. Andrew Luck from 6 yards out.
It's time for Off-Season Horseshoe FAQ on The Last Word on FM 107.5 and 1070 The Fan.
Welcome back. We are live right now at the NFL Scouting Combine at Lucas Oil Stadium for this edition of Horseshoe FAQ, Frequently Asked Questions on the Colts. And we do that with Colts Insider from Colts.com, Kevin Bowen. Before we get into this segment, we always like to remind you that the Colts are in search of several exceptional women to represent them as members of the 2014 cheerleading squad. Auditions begin Sunday, March 23rd. It'll be here before you know it. That day at noon at the Indiana Farm Bureau Football Center, individuals interested in trying out for the squad are always asked to pre-register at colts.com/auditions. A couple years ago, Kevin, I can remember coming to Lucas Oil Stadium, and there were a lot of people here then, don't get me wrong, but it seems like this year, even more so than last year, the media people here, we're just stepping all over each other because there's so many of us covering this. And I guess it goes to show and proves once again the NFL is king, and even the NFL offseason draws better than some of the other three major sports.
I mean, every month of the year you have an event, and Indianapolis is the epicenter right now of the NFL. I believe 900-ish credentialed media for the week. And again, the reason it's staying in Indianapolis, I think, is first, Lucas Oil obviously is a perfect venue. Every team has their own suite here. They're able to look down on the field, scout players. Every team has a hotel room where prospects will go back to on Thursday and Friday and Saturday and every night of the week and interview with teams. And then obviously you have all the hotels that are very close here, because I think the medical testing is really the most important part of this combine. Make sure there weren't any hidden injuries in their college days or stuff that maybe kind of went through the medical records. I think that is the biggest process of it. But yes, the NFL, it never ceases to amaze me how much media coverage is given to this week, and rightfully so. You have every coach and every GM talking pretty much in the whole league, so it's a great time to get some great insight on teams that you don't usually hear a lot about.
The athletes themselves are going through the workouts, they're being interviewed, they're going through the medical tests, as you said, but they're also being drilled mentally with this Wonderlic test. This is a famed or infamous test, depending on who you are. But you and I, we looked at one of these, we came across one. It's tough. It's deceivingly hard.
It is not as easy as you would think. Again, I was getting ready to take it, and I hear Vince Young and Tavon Austin, some of these guys who struggle with it. I'm thinking, okay, I'm just going to blow right through it. It was a struggle. It's a 50-question test, and you have 12 minutes to finish it.
And you're a smart guy.
Thank you. I wasn't going to say that. But, no, I mean, I thought that I would breeze through this, you know, get 45 right or whatnot, and all of a sudden I look up at about question 30. I'm like, oh my gosh, I only have a minute left. It's one of those things where that is a part of the process. Obviously, the personality part of it, when you get these guys in their room, you have to be fresh every time. Let's say you're talking with the Cleveland Browns, and you're going to talk with the Colts, and then the Raiders. They might be asking the same questions, but you have to act like it is your first time hearing those questions. You got to be chipper, because you never know on draft day when, you know, you pop up on that team's board, they're going to remember that first impression. And Bjorn Werner talked about this on Colts Up Close, I think, how important it is to make that first impression, make that a lasting impression. So when your name pops up, they know everything about you on the field. What's this guy going to be like off the field? Can he fit into our locker room? For the Colts especially, the locker room, the culture, I think is so important. That's the biggest thing. This team doesn't need much from an on-the-field standpoint. You want to bring guys in this locker room, keep that mantra, keep on building the monster, and try to reach that level of playing in early February.
This is The Last Word. I'm Matt Taylor on FM 107.5 and 1070 The Fan. The segment is Horseshoe FAQ, Frequently Asked Questions on the Colts. We spin it every week with Kevin Bowen from Colts.com. Kevin, another topical Colts issue out there right now is the franchise tag. A lot of people have been wondering if the Colts will utilize that again, similar to the way they did last year. Obviously, they can't use it on Pat McAfee, but they could potentially use it on someone else. Now, around the league in 2013, only 8 teams used their franchise tag. Maybe a possibility out there would be to use it on Vontae Davis or Antoine Bethea. A, does that make sense, and what is the likelihood of either of those guys getting the tag?
I would be surprised, but I think if there's going to be any free agents, those are the two that you mentioned. I think those are the two most likely for the Colts. Teams around the league, I don't want to use it, but if contract talks bog down, it's kind of a last resort. You slap this tag on them, then you have to pay them at a top five level at the cornerback position, the safety position for Davis and Bethea. Those two guys fall into those categories. They are, I think, elite players at that position, but the Colts would like to get, I think, both those deals done before you start getting into, do we need to put the free agent, or excuse me, put the franchise tag on those guys, especially Davis. It sounds like talks are already ongoing with him. There's a mutual interest, I think, from both sides that he wants to stay in Indianapolis, and he is the perfect corner for this system in terms of your attacking style defense. He said when he came here that Chuck Pagano, former defensive backs coach, is really taking him under his wing off the field, not only on the field. So I think you don't have a ton of depth in the secondary, so keeping them in place, I think, is key. I think you'll see both them in a Colts uniform next year, but as far as the franchise tag, I would be surprised if the Colts use it here in 2014.
We'll be speaking with Chuck Pagano and Ryan Grigson later on in this segment, so stay tuned for that. But you and I have not gotten the chance to talk about Rob Chudzinski, the special assistant now to head coach Chuck Pagano. He comes over from Cleveland after just 1 year. We'll get Chuck's thoughts here in just a second, but how do you think the Colts are going to utilize him?
Another offensive guru in that room with Pep Hamilton and Clyde Christensen, who obviously has some history as a Colts offensive coordinator in the past. Chud came from the Browns last year. They were 11th in the league in passing offense. It's the highest they've been since 1991. Prior to that, he was in Carolina, worked extensively with Cam Newton, really turned him into that 4,000-yard passer that we saw in his rookie season, and turned that Panthers offense, they went from 17 touchdowns the year before he got there to 48 when he took over in 2011, worked with some elite tight ends in this league, and Antonio Gates and Kellen Winslow, so I think he will love having Kobe Fleener and Dwayne Allen at his disposal. I think, again, it's just another offensive mind to put in that room, because this Colts offense has a ton of talent. You think about bringing back Reggie Wayne and Dwayne Allen, pair that up with T.Y. Hilton, obviously the young wideouts, stable running backs. See no reason why this Colts offense shouldn't be in the top five or top 10 in the league next year.
We mentioned Coach Pagano. Here he is earlier in the week talking about how he thinks Rob Chudzinski can help the Colts next season.
Well, very excited. I feel very fortunate to have Rob coming on board with us. You know, as you know, I've had a long-standing, you know, professional and personal relationship with Chud. You know, we go all the way back to 1986, his freshman year at the University of Miami. It's my third year in coaching. I was GA and for Jimmy Johnson down there. And you know, Chud, you know, brings a wealth of knowledge. Obviously, you know, head coach last year for the Browns. Done some great things in, you know, in this league, and done great things at the collegiate level. And so he's just another piece. We're adding another piece to the puzzle that gets us one step closer, you know, to our ultimate goal.
As a head coach in the NFL, what challenges do you face sifting through 335 players here at the Combine?
Yeah, it's a huge challenge. It's a huge undertaking. But, you know, Ryan Grigson and his staff of scouts, they do a great job of, you know, preparing things for us and bringing us up to speed on these guys. It's exciting. It's always, you know, every year, you know, you look forward to coming in and evaluating every position that's here. This year is even tougher challenge-wise with all the juniors that, right, that came out. I think there's over 100 juniors. I think there's 85 or 86 of them, you know, participating in this combine. So it's a huge challenge, but it's an undertaking that we're very much excited for and looking forward to.
As we all know right now, the Colts don't have a first-round draft pick, but in recent drafts, we've seen you can still get good players in round two and round three. Eddie Lacy, Giovanni Bernard, and then the Colts case, Dwayne Allen, T.Y. Hilton. There's still good players out there to be had.
Yeah, no question about it. And when you look at you know, the players here and you look at all the draft nicks and you listen to all the pundits, they say this is one of the deepest drafts, sure, you know, in recent history. So, yeah, we're not. I'm not really worried, you know, about where we're picking. There's going to be a ton of great players. And, again, Ryan and his staff have done a great job of setting up our board. And that thing will fluctuate and move around a little bit once we're done with this combine and we get through March and pro days and all those things. But, you know, we're going to land some great players.
Coach, lastly, before we let you go, where would you like to see this team get better in the spring and OTAs as we move towards training camp in July?
I think every area. We're going to turn every stone, Matt, in our program. We're going to look at you know, both sides of the ball, every position group, everybody on the roster, everything we're doing from A to Z, whether it's in the weight room, the training room, meals that we're serving. I don't care what it is. We're going to turn every stone because you know, it's one thing, you know, go 8-8 to 11-5, and then 11-5 to 12-4, and then to try to get to 13-3 or 14-2, and gain home field advantage.
Sure.
That's a huge undertaking, and so we're going to look at every aspect of the program, look to get better every day.
Again, that's head coach Chuck Pagano at the NFL Scouting Combine. I'm Matt Taylor, joined once again alongside Kevin Bowen from Colts.com. And Kevin, in that interview, amongst other things, we heard Coach Pagano talking about the amount of emphasis he places on workouts from these athletes at the Combine. We've seen it where guys in the past really struggle in their workouts. They don't perform. Their 40 times are really slow. They're off pace from what we're used to or what we think they could do based off of what we see on the field from these guys. And no better example of that, I guess, is in-house Dwayne Allen. If you ask DA, he had a horrific combine a couple years ago, but he was still taken in the third round by the Colts. So I guess with that said, it just proves that most of these GMs and most of these coaches really place a higher priority on what they see out of the game film.
It's all about tape for Ryan Grigson, and Dwayne Allen is very outspoken about his combine experience. He came to Indy in 2012. He was the nation's number one tight end, won the John Mackey Award for the nation's top tight end in college football, and he had every intention of being the first tight end selected, being invited to Radio City Music Hall. He ran a 4.89, I believe it was, 40-yard dash that was not near the top five. The only category he was top five in tight ends was bench press, and obviously we've seen him be an elite blocker in the league, so that obviously paid off. But from an on-the-field, the cone, the shuttle, that stuff, DA struggled. 45 catches, though, in his rookie season. And take out Kobe Fleener, no other rookie tight end in that 12 draft class had more than 8 catches. So it just goes to show you, and he says time and time again, just turn on the tape. That's all he asks. The stopwatch, that stuff can be a bit deceiving, especially at the tight end position. Dwayne Allen obviously proved that. I think we talked about this last week a little bit with Jimmy Ray. Guys are going to have good workouts and bad workouts. You gotta throw in their pro days, personal workouts. Bjorn Werner worked out in front of Chuck Pagano, Ryan Grigson last year, a major reason that the Colts chose him in the first round in 2013. So I think this is just another workout, but the big part of this, again, goes back to the medical testing, the personality stuff. That stuff you can't really quantitatively put a number on. So I think get those guys in the room. That's where you're really going to find, can this guy fit in my locker room? Because the tape is really what's going to decide the on-the-field part of that.
A guy who's soaking it all in and will be pulling the trigger come May for the Colts in the second round of the draft. As of right now, is general manager Ryan Grigson. And earlier in the week, I caught up with him. And first subject right off the bat was how he is approaching the combine, knowing right now he doesn't have a first-round draft pick.
Well, I think that approach is pretty basic. It's just to find good football players, players that are going to help us win, get Super Bowl 49 with that in mind. We want our guys are all well-trained. They're all have a lot of experience. We're all kind of have the same philosophical approach with the staff, with the scouts, and everyone. And that's just to look for greatness and to find out guys that are here. We look with the glass half full. We look through that type of lens because, you know, with having no first-round pick, you know, you're going to have to look a little bit harder, and you're going to have to be a little bit more sure of yourself in two, because that's your first pick. And we feel the draft is deep enough that we're going to find a real quality player there and beyond.
Ryan, in the modern day combine, agents now are working with their clients. They're schooling them on questions that yourself, guys like you, are asking. The athletes themselves are going through the workouts over and over and over again. Is there any fear at all that the combine has become watered down and the pop quiz aspect of it is being lost?
There's some of that, but you work through that real quick. And that's kind of the byproduct of having a genuine head coach mm-hmm. that's real and looks at guys in the eye. And that the baloney in the front gets broken down really quick in the setting that we have. So I'd say that goes right out the window real quick when they step into our room. And you know, Chuck does a great job with these guys and getting kind of seeing what makes them tick. And you know, I sit back and watch him do that, and he's a master in that respect. And you know, we need to find out do these guys love football? Do they want to? Are they willing to make the sacrifice? Do they seem like they're one of us? Do they mm-hmm. seem like they're somebody that is willing to put in the time, especially the underclassmen, because you really have to. You haven't been able to do the work at the school because they just came out, you know, recently. So you have to really dig and get a feel for those guys because you know they're young. You have to get a gauge on: are they mature enough? Are they going to work? Are they going to be satisfied with just coming in and being a backup when you take them in the second round? No, you're taking somebody in the second round. You want them to come in and play. So you've got to be able to gauge a lot of different things in a short amount of time. But that's why you know we get paid to do what we do.
Ryan, free agency is coming up, starts on March 11th. Just in general terms, how does who you sign or don't sign, how does that affect your draft board come May?
It affects it because where you may be deep at a position, you may lose people, and all of a sudden you're thinner, and that could change what you're focusing on. But at the same time, I feel like we've done a great job here in the last 2 years where we maybe had our backs to the wall, certain position groups, and we found those guys, whether it be on the street, whether they be after the draft, and what have you. But it's hard to not take someone that, say, falls to the fifth round that you have sitting here in the second way up at the top of two on your board, even if you are deep at a position. That's just kind of almost bad business. You know, those are questions that Jim, you know, in the draft room would wonder as well. Why aren't we taking this guy? So you have to kind of, you have to follow, the successful organizations usually follow their board to almost to a T.
Before we let you go, it came out last week that the Colts had the easiest schedule for 2014 based off winning percentage from 2013. I know you really don't look into that, buy into that too much, because there are really good teams in the NFL across the board. There's always four or five teams that are in the playoffs that weren't the year before, and no matter who you play, you still have to go out and win games.
Two words: Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
Well, three. So that's a perfect example. 2-14 in a team that we barely eked out a win against in a home playoff game. So this league is one of parity. That's what makes our league great. A few tweaks here and there, and that also shows you how close the talent level is from team to team. I mean, they tweak a couple things here and there in Kansas City, and all of a sudden they're a contender. So I think that whole thing goes right out the window. And then you also factor in that two teams have two picks in the top three in the draft, so that's going to help them exponentially as well, I would think.
That again is Ryan Grigson, Colts general manager. Special thanks to him for taking some time to talk about the draft that's coming up, free agency, and how he is attacking the Colts offseason so far. Live from the NFL Scouting Combine, I'm Matt Taylor on Horseshoe FAQ, frequently asked questions on the Colts. Also spending that with Kevin Bowen from Colts.com. Now, Kevin, a major topic that is going on around here at the Combine now, obviously, is Michael Sam, who could potentially become the first openly gay player in the NFL. We know he's very good. He has a high chance of getting drafted. But here's what I want to know. Where does he stack up amongst other defensive ends and other pass rushers who are competing here at the Combine?
Well, reading Monday Morning Quarterback, Greg Bedard wrote a great column on Michael Sam on the field and talked about he has a linebacker size, but he has the skill set of a pass rusher. So he's that hybrid 3-4 that you aren't really sure where he fits in. Can he be a stand-up outside linebacker at the next level? Is he too small to be a 4-3 defensive end? This is a guy that, yes, he was the co-defensive player of the year in the SEC, which, listening to the GM's talk, that speaks for itself. That's the best conference of college football. But when you take a closer look, of those 11.5 sacks, 9 of them happened in 3 games. He only played about 50 to 60% of Mizzou's snaps last year on defense. Now, some could argue and say, well, if he played more, he would have got more sacks. But at the same time, he was fresh. He was coming in passing situations. How well can he play against the run? I think that is why you're seeing his grade fall in the 4th to 5th round. It looks like that is kind of where he has been slotted. It'll be interesting to see on Saturday with just that media horde around him. We saw it on Thursday. Joe Philbin kicked off the combine, and you couldn't even breathe in the room. Johnny Manziel is the same way. It's going to be like that, if not bigger, for Michael Sam on Saturday. But from everything that I've heard and read about him, very articulate guy. I think he will handle it well. The biggest thing for him is, can he test well? Can he prove himself? Can he prove to these GMs that he can be an every down linebacker, every down end, where they kind of see him slotted? Again, he will be one of the most debated prospects all the way through May 8th and May 10th, when that final day of the draft is.
From Colts.com, that's Kevin Bowen providing good insight live from the NFL Scouting Combine. You're going to be down here the rest of the weekend. What else are you going to be trying to put your finger on as we progress and we see more and more of these athletes start to work out?
Well, Thursday we saw the O-line come in here, so I talked a lot of the interior offensive linemen. That I think is a position of need for the Colts and something that is a deep spot in this draft. Cornerbacks and wideouts as well. So I think it's trying to delve deeper into those deeper position groups, find guys, can they be starters in the second and third round? We saw it last year. They are people in Lucas Oil right now that can help out this Colts team. The big thing is finding them, because you aren't going to see, you know, without a first-round draft pick, it's going to have to be guys like you saw a couple years ago, Dwayne Allen and T.Y. Hilton, come in as third-round draft picks and be instant impact players. The Colts can find those guys, and that they're definitely in this building. The key is just seeing who you get in free agency and let the draft play out from there.
It's great stuff as always, KB. Appreciate you stopping by.
Awesome. Thanks, Mata.
Kevin Bowen from Colts.com on Horseshoe FAQ live from the NFL Scouting Combine. Time for another break, but when we come back, we'll wrap up the show. Jimmy Mad Dog Matus will rejoin me live inside the Taco Bell studio. We'll have some fun, make our weekend predictions, that and more coming up. Stay with us. This is The Last Word on FM 107.5 and 1070 The Fan.
We ain't playing nothing.
It's quitting time. Open up a cold one and kick back. Time to clock out on The Last Word with Jimmy Mad Dog Matus and Matt Taylor.
We are back inside the Taco Bell studio. Happy weekend to you. It's clocking out. Your work week is over. Have some fun. Kick it off in a nice way with us. Jimmy Mad Dog Matus here. I'm Matt Taylor, leading you up until the top of the hour at 7 o'clock when High School Hoops takes over the airwaves. Cathedral is at Ben Davis. That's brought to you by H.H. Gregg. Clocking out segment's also brought to you by H.H. Gregg. They know appliances and electronics, so you don't have to. In fact, H.H. Gregg is the official appliance and electronics retailer of the Colts. Dog, where do you want to start this week? Let's start with the Forum Credit Union question of the week.
Okay, I'm ready.
This is a good question. This comes from Darren Wader from Noblesville. Darren wants to know, excluding Johnny Manziel and Jameis Winston, who are the only two Heisman Trophy winners not to be selected in the NFL draft since 1967?
Well, I've got the easy one, and I have no clue on a second. I didn't even know there was a second. But Charlie Ward's easy because of basketball.
Right.
I don't know what year, but Florida State, how about that? Charlie Ward.
Yep.
But I have no clue. Didn't even know there was another.
Let me flip the page on Darren here. Darren says, Charlie Ward, Florida State, 1993. And, oh my gosh, Jason White from Oklahoma in 2003. Remember Jason White?
No, I don't.
That's the problem.
How about that?
I think he's selling insurance or something. He owns his own business. He's selling farm equipment. Who knows? But he never even got a look. He never even got a sniff in the NFL. I mean, at least Charlie Ward was, he had to decide between basketball, football. He had a lot of options. Jason White was just deemed not good enough. He was just on a good team in Oklahoma.
Yeah, I'm with you. Charlie was the only one I could come up with.
So, all right, very good. Remember when?
I wonder if Jason White's going to be on the Oprah Winfrey Network. Where are they now?
The O Network. I bet not. I bet Oprah won't waste her time on Jason White.
All right.
Remember when? This date in history, February 21st. I'll tell you what happens. You try to guess the year.
I hate this segment, by the way.
I know you do. I know you do. But I like doing it because it's historical perspective.
Okay.
An agreement between baseball players and club owners increased the minimum salary for major leaguers to $10,000 a year. That happened on February 21st of what year?
39.
Really? 39? $10,000 in 1939?
That's what I'm going with.
That's like a bazillion dollars.
I've got no clue, Matt. I threw a number out. Let's get this thing over with.
1968.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
You might know this one better. The Jackson 5 made their TV debut on American Bandstand. What year?
72.
1970. Not
that
bad.
Was my
You're
first
close.
Concert, by the way.
Jackson 5?
Jackson 5.
How was it?
At the Coliseum.
Yeah?
Opening act was the Commodores. I was in eighth grade, I
really?
Think. But I wanted to be Michael Jackson.
All right, dog, let's have some fun. Something you're more into. Time for You're Wrong.
What's wrong with my?
What if you're wrong?
You're so wrong.
What if I'm wrong? Anybody could be wrong.
Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
Okay, a couple weeks ago, I got pretty fired up on this segment. I'm going to keep it low key. Okay, the Indiana Pacers, they just traded for Evan Turner.
They have a solid second rotation with Scola and Bynum once he gets up to speed, Turner in the mix. But here's the deal. The Miami Heat are rolling. The Heat are on fire. What they did last night to the Oklahoma City Thunder, LeBron James is making another push for an MVP award. Just because the Pacers talk about needing to get home court advantage and wanting to get the top seed in the Eastern Conference doesn't mean it's necessarily going to happen, because Miami is coming on strong. So Pacers, if you think you can just make the moves that make sense on paper and show up and win these games and get the number one seed because of everything you're doing off the court, you're wrong.
Do you think at all that anybody over that organization believes that? Because they have played like they've got something to prove from the very beginning of this season. You're going to have dips in the NBA season. You're just going to.
The performance the other night against Minnesota was a little lackluster.
I get that, and I think bumping the road after the All-Star break. I think those things happen. I think this team, even more so now with new blood at practice, ready to go, invigorates him more. That being said, it still won't be easy.
Right.
Don't get me wrong, because the Heat are ready to go.
They're coming on strong, and that's why I'm
But I think this Pacer organization is geared up with laser focus and eye firmly on the prize.
That's why I'm staying pretty calm, pretty tame. So,
all right, here you go. You want one for me?
Yes, of course.
If you think figure skating isn't just the WWF on ice, you're wrong. I mean, I'm watching the news this morning, and they've got segment after segment that this girl didn't do a hard enough program. She shouldn't have won. Yeah, obviously, you got the Tonya Harding thing from years back. You had a girl who finished fourth in the trials, but they put her on the team because she's had a better year. It's crazy. It's orchestrated. It's the WWF on ice with perhaps smaller costumes. The judges are screwed with it. Right. You know, I mean, you're going to get this score. And this person, well, her routine was much simpler. I don't care. They're skating.
Dog is fired up. Fired up over the skating, big fella. Calm down. Let's calm you down. Let's talk about something you know something about. Let's make some predictions.
It's prediction time. Play along and let it ride.
All right. Not a very good showing last time, Dog, when you were here. You were 4-3 a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I got it. I was watching. No good.
4-3. You're still over 500, but here's a week where you can redeem yourself a bit. As we said, high school basketball, top of the hour. Cathedral is at Ben Davis in a late out-of-conference showdown for the Giants tonight at 7 o'clock.
Who you Ben like? Davis.
I'm going to take Cathedral.
Are you?
I'm going to take Cathedral. They seem to be the more balanced team.
I saw Cathedral play about a week or so ago. Really good squad. I think Ben Davis will get out in front of them.
All right, fair enough. Indiana State at Missouri State, Saturday at 1 o'clock.
Sycamores.
I like it's a big game for the Sycamores as they make their NCAA tournament push. Notre Dame is at number 14, just Virginia, Saturday at 2 o'clock. Notre Dame at Virginia.
14th-ranked Virginia.
At home, of course. I'll take the Cavaliers. Indiana is at Northwestern, Saturday at 8:15. First time for the Hoosiers to play since last Saturday. The plank fell at Assembly Hall. They're still trying to figure that out, but the Hoosiers on the road against the Wildcats.
I'm going with IU on the road against a pretty good Northwestern team.
Pretty good Northwestern team that already beat the Hoosiers at home, so I'm going to have to go with Northwestern. Pacers at the Bucks tomorrow. It's Y2K night at the Bradley Center, Saturday at 8:30.
Pacers.
Purdue is at Nebraska, Sunday at 4:15.
Nebraska
just put a whoop in the on Penn State the
They're a good
night.
Team.
They are a good team, and they're especially good at home. Providence is at Butler at Hinkle's, Sunday at 6 o'clock.
Got to go with Providence.
I got to go with Providence as well. They almost knocked off Villanova the other night. College game of the weekend. It's number 23, UCLA at Stanford, Pac-12 matchup.
I'm going upset here. I'm going Stanford.
I like that. I'm going to go with Stanford as well in that contest. The Daytona 500. We're not going to see Richard Petty race Danica Patrick, but DP will be at the back of the field. Any chance for her? Who do you like in this race? The Great American Race.
Denny Hamlin.
Who's on the pole? I don't even know.
Austin Dillon.
Okay, I'll take him. I'll take that guy.
That would have been my... I would have boxed Denny Hamlin and Austin Dillon.
I'm trying to think if I know more NASCAR drivers off the top of my head or golfers.
See, that should be your next contest instead of that silly this date in history thing. Say, you know, racers or golfers, and you give a name and you... Oh, he's a golfer or a racer. Yeah.
Okay, next Friday.
That'd be better.
Next Friday, come with a list of names, and I'll try to identify who they are and what they do.
Perfect.
What do you got this weekend?
Move some snow around. Go be at the Combine.
Yep.
Tomorrow, doing some things for the NFL. But kind of a laid-back weekend. Looking forward to it.
Thanks for joining us tonight on The Last Word. My thanks to Kevin Bowen, Jimmy Mad Dog Manis, Ryan Grigson, and Chuck Pagano. If you missed any of their interviews, you can check it out at Colts.com. Cathedral and Ben Davis, high school basketball, coming up next. We'll be back next Friday night, 6 o'clock. Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Let's go. If I was an old school 50-pound boombox, would you hold me on your shoulder wherever you